It's the Rush Hour with MG on Triple M. Liam Flanagan here. MG, last time we spoke to this man, it was October of 2019. The Everest was getting set to run.
Oh, yeah.
And he was 2 weeks away from officially becoming the chairman of the ARLC. What a little stint it's been. Today, he is the driving force and the reason that we are just over a week away from the NRL resuming. It is Peter Volandis. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Liam. G'day, Mark.
Hello, Pete. Thanks for joining us, mate. First of all, is there a word that can describe the last 7 weeks in your life?
Frantic, I probably know. And sleepless. That's the two words that come to mind, I think, at the moment. But look, all that will be forgotten on the 28th of May if we can have an exciting match and rugby league's back bigger and brighter than ever.
Look, I haven't got you on to pump up your tyres, but I'm going to. I've said on this show many a time that in Peter I trust, and I dare say that if you weren't at the helm, we'd be a long way from playing rugby league on the 28th of May. You've done a sensational job. There's the sucking up after out of the way. I just wanted to get that out of the way. But you've done a fantastic job, mate. Well done.
No, it's unbelievable. Now, thank you for that, Mark. So I'm ready for the coat hanger, mate. Whenever you want to provide it, here comes the shoulder charge.
No, I want to go back a little bit. I want to find out a little bit about Peter Volandis, the man, because I know you're a learned man. You've done your Bachelor of Commerce, majoring in accounting for the University of Wollongong. How does a young Greek lad from the Gong find his way at first in 1988 to be the CEO of New South Wales Harness Racing?
No, it's actually thoroughbred racing, Mark. But look, it's been a long journey for me. Look, I was a migrant kid from Greece. I was only 4 when I went to school, and basically, you know, I was bullied in the kindergarten grounds. And what saved me was rugby league. So that's why I wanted to get into rugby league administration at some point to repay the debt. You know, I chose a business career instead of continuing on with my league career. My ambition in life was to wear the green and gold of Australia, and some of my friends got to do that. So the next best thing for me was to repay it with administration, and that's why I'm where I am at the moment. But I think in life, it's like anything else. You put the hard work in, luck comes along with it. Hard work, you know, doesn't do it on itself. You need a bit of luck, and I've been very fortunate in my career to have both.
Peter, it strikes me the most pressing issue facing the game's return is the referees and an agreement with them. Where is a peace agreement at? When do we expect to have some sort of resolution?
Look, hopefully the resolution will be come over the weekend or early next week. We're going to arbitration with the match officials, and the arbitrator will come to a decision. It'll be binding to both parties. You know, either party can then go to a full bench. But we want just the matter to end. We want the game to start. I think we are acting on the best interests of the fans. The fans want a free-flowing game, and we're trying to provide that. You know, we want to get rid of the wrestle. We want to fasten up the ruck. And one of the things that, you know, probably haven't explained well enough is the new concept. Even though we're taking away the pocket referee, we're providing those pocket referee as touch judges. And unfortunately, the touch judges we have at the moment, and I'm not being critical of them, are part-timers. That's not their full-time job. It's not what they're great at. Mm. And at times when they give information to the referee, it's incorrect. And the referee cops the blame for that because he was given incorrect information. We're replacing those part-timers with full-time experienced referees who will have a roving commission. So they're not only going to be on the sideline, they are going to come into the field of play and assist, you know, the referee, but there will only be one referee. But I think it'll be better officiating because you're going to have 3 experienced full-time referees on the field at any one time. At the moment, you've got 2. So in actual fact, we've increased it by another one to have 3. I think the 6 again will be innovative because it'll speed things up. Rather than getting a penalty if you're wrestling or slow down the ruck, it'll be 6 again. And I said to one of the high-profile coaches, what will you do if you're the defending team and you give away 2 sixes again and there's 12 straight tackles your team has to do? And the first thing he said, we'll stop doing it. We'll have no option but to stop doing it. So basically, we want to act on the best interest of the fans to give them an entertaining game, bring back fatigue, bring back the little brilliant players into the game and make it exciting. And one of the things that came out of the broadcast discussions is that we are at the crossroads with our game because, you know, the ratings aren't there as strong as what they used to be. So, and we rely heavily on the broadcast dollars, and without them, we can't operate. So I think we have to look after the fan, and that's exactly what I'm going to do my best to do.
Before we move on from the referees issue, because you raised some other things we want to get to there, is there scope that if we get to this time next week, an agreement hasn't been reached with Silvio Del Vecchio and his association, can you play the games, can you execute these matches with non-association-bound referees, former referees of the game?
I don't think it's going to come to that because Silvio's already indicated that they're committed to the 28th of May. So there will be referees and the top line referees on the 28th of May.
Great.
The only difference will be, will there be one or will there be two? And that's what's going to be decided in the Fair Work Commission. I'll be very surprised if the Fair Work Commission overturn a regulator's decision-making process where it's trying to increase its revenues and satisfy its fans. So that's the argument that's going to go before the commission. Referees, with due respect to them, they implement the rules. They don't make the rules. The rules are made by people that are given that responsibility. And I think that there's a bit of a line in the sand here as to the fact that the commission and the ARL should be able to govern the game, and the referees implement the rules that we put in place.
I like your consistency. Most times you in the last 6 or 7 weeks when you've said something, it's come to fruition. You know, with the biosecurities, with the RLPA, you said, look, this will be sorted in a couple of days. The referees, I've got no doubt, will be sorted by the weekend. What about the broadcast deal? When do we think we might have that sorted, Pete?
Look, we're at the pointy end of the broadcast deal. You know, it's been a hard slog because, you know, both entities, both broadcasters have really hit some very hard economic times. It's not full of gold as it has been in the past. They're doing it tough, and as good partners, we have to act responsibly with them. You know, we've negotiated over a long period of time. It's all been done in good faith. Both Channel 9 and Fox have been fantastic, and I think that we're nearly there. I think we've nearly got a deal. The ARL Commission signed off on it on Tuesday or Monday. I'm losing track of days.
Well, we all do.
And basically, it's now got to go to the Channel 9 board. It's got to go to the News Limited board, which is in New York. So hopefully early next week we have some major announcement in relation to broadcast. I've always said if all three of us walked away unhappy, it means we've got a good deal. And all three of us have walked away unhappy. So basically, I think we've got the right mixture.
Look, going back 7 or 8 weeks, looking at the world of sport, it's slowly waking from its slumber. The Bundesliga, the Korean soccer's back. UFC, this is an interesting one because the UFC, you'd imagine, would be one of the last sports that would be back fighting and back in competition. But yet they've had three fight nights in the last week. In fact, Nick Walshaw wrote a column in the Telegraph about a week ago talking about how Dana White, the CEO of the UFC, has offered to help NRL get through this period because he's got like a dossier on exactly what the right and wrong thing is to do. Have you had any contact with the UFC president, Dana White?
No, not really, Mark, because I'm pretty confident in our own protocols. Look, we discounted pretty well immediately the having people in bubbles, and we always looked at the statistics. We always looked at the infection rate, and we knew that we could give our players self-isolation. I banked on the fact that Queensland and Victoria would allow us to train and play in those states, which they have now done. So, look, without the protocols, our expert tells us, who's a biological and chemical warfare expert, and you probably need that in rugby league at times, but he basically said that even without the protocols, a player getting the coronavirus is 1,000 to 1.
Yep.
With our protocols, it's 10,000 to 1. Mm. And as the infection rate reduces, that goes up higher. And just to give you a comparative, you can have a car accident. A car accident to drive to the game is 1,000 to 1. So the odds are good. My only concern naturally is some of our medical contractors, do go to the front line, and we've got to make sure that they don't, come back and give the coronavirus to the player. So we've got to be on edge in a way. So we can't become complacent. We've always got to be looking at it, even though the odds are on our side. And I'm confident we'll get through this. And I'll be a very relieved man at the end of November when the last State of Origin matches play.
Speaking of State of Origin, Pete, with the move to have it after the regular season, what realistic chance are we that there will be a crowd for State of Origin this year for the games, regardless of where they're played?
Look, we always gambled on the fact that there was two reasons why we put the State of Origin in November. Firstly, we wanted to give the clubs their full player roster for the whole year. Because there's going to be five or six rounds less than what there was the previous year, we want to give every club an opportunity. And it would be unfair for some of the clubs to lose their players mid-season on a shorter number of rounds. So that was one reason why we did it. So the players will see the season through and all the clubs will have their best players available. But also, putting it into November, we thought there was a chance to have crowds. And one of the things we're going to put forward to the government, you know, if the infection rate keeps going down, is to reward the emergency workers as our guests at one of the State of Origin matches, the people that have done all the hard work in keeping Australia the way it is. Yeah. So that's one avenue. But with social distancing, et cetera, and as I said, the reason we always targeted the 28th of May was we were confident in our analysis of the infection rate. I said at the time, 6 weeks ago, that hopefully by the 28th of May, the infection rate in New South Wales will be zero. Well, today there was four positives. They all came from people travelling from overseas, and there was zero in the community. Mm. And for the last 30 days, it's been less than half of 1% infection rate. When we stopped play, in the last round, the infection rate was 25.5%.
Wow.
And our expert at the time said it was the calm before the storm, and that's why we stopped. But the good news was that prediction was incorrect, and the infection rate has come down dramatically over the last period, and that's why we were always confident we'd get to the 28th of May.
You seem to have had hurdle after hurdle to jump over in the last 6 to 7 weeks. What's been the hardest one, Pete?
Look, I think the broadcast has been the hardest because you've got two media organisations that are going through some of the worst economic conditions in a long, long time. The advertising market is soft. You've got Foxtel, who, you know, generates a lot of its revenue from providing the service to pubs and clubs and accommodation centres, which have all closed, so they can't be getting income from them. You've got No Sports, which affects their subscription station KO. And Channel 9, you know, people aren't advertising because of the economic conditions, and so it's been a hard slog to get to where we are, because I have to take that into account. I have to take into account that you know, my two partners that supply 80 to 90% of my revenue need help right at the moment. And so that's been the hardest part. Look, the rest of it is always a challenge, but in these times of a crisis, you always expect those challenges. So they're a bit of like water off a duck's back. It's more the commercial aspects of the of the game that I don't think people realise how important the revenue is from broadcast, and it's, you know, the game can't survive without it.
Pete, look, at the end of the day, it's rugby league is back on the field, and that's the main thing. I really can't believe it. No one can believe it. What about, quickly, how good is a job as Wayne Pearce done with the Apollo project?
Well, look, any leader is as good as the team that's under him, and Wayne Pearce has been one hell of a team player. Like, he's, you know, he's done an amazing job in the protocols and putting them all together, and I can't thank him enough. I don't think he's got the recognition he deserves. And as I say to a lot of people, if I was in Afghanistan, I'd like Wayne Pearce next to me in the trench.
Oh, jeez.
As MG's alarm goes off to tell him to...
Hey, what about with the rumour we're hearing? And is it might, you can dispel it right now, the whispers, that as soon as you do the broadcast deal, you reckon, or you, allegedly, the job's done and you're walking away into the sunset.
That's not correct. What I said, and it's been misconstrued, is I'm not interested in being the CEO or an executive chairman. I'll stay in the role that I'm at the moment, which is the chairman of the game. And, you know, in corporate governance, you need a differentiation between the board and the management. So I don't think it's appropriate for me to be executive chairman, and I'm not interested at this stage of my life to being the CEO. But as I said, I owe the game a great debt, although I think I've paid it over and I'm probably being credit by now. But I want to stay and see it through. I want to get the game viable for the next 30 or 40 years, and I think we're on the path to do that with all the broadcast deals. We're going to have to reduce our cost structure of the game, and then the job's done, and that's not going to happen overnight.
Pete, question, next year, how many interchange will we have in the NRL?
Look, I don't want to preempt any decision because there's got to be a lot of water that goes in. But we look, the whole point is, and this came out loud and clear with the discussions with the broadcasters, is you've got to have the game entertaining. You're in the entertainment industry, and people, you know, use their disposable income because they want to relax and be entertained. And that's what the game of rugby league does, is it entertains. But when you make it all about defence and when you make it all about being predictable, that entertainment factor is lost. Mm. So we need to get the balance right. And, you know, the interchange is definitely one of those areas we have to look at, because we do have to bring more fatigue in. You know, I want to see the brilliant players, you know, change a game and be game busters and you won't do that unless you, you know, you do make some changes.
Well, I can tell you, as an ex-forward, big man of the game, the people who scared me most were them halfbacks about 10 minutes before halftime when I knew there was no interchange. And so I think you're on the right track. Pete, just before, from my point of view, two questions. Your favourite ever rugby league player and your favourite ever racing horse?
Look, there was two – well, there's one rugby league player that I – there was three, because I'm being a St. George supporter. I mean, when I was very, very young, it was Graham Langlands. I've never seen a more brilliant footballer than Graham. The sidestep, the way he used to catch the ball. But the bloke that I'd want to go and watch was Teddy Goodwin.
Oh, Lord Ted.
now, Ted, you know, was brilliant. And it is what I'm saying. He was the entertainer. He could turn a game in the flick of a switch. And I can remember when he collided with a player in a grand final, and if he hadn't, St. George, you know, probably would have won the game. And Rocket Rod Reddy was always a big idol of mine. So, yeah, but there's been a lot, but they're the ones that spring to mind. But Graham Langland's definitely one of the most brilliant players I've ever seen. And, you know, mind you, I was only very young, and, you know, only
a baby.
Five or six. But nevertheless, I never forgot him because he was so brilliant.
Hey, what about the racehorse, mate? What's been your favourite racehorse to watch?
Well, even though I'm in thoroughbred racing, probably the horse that really gained my imagination and got me into racing was a horse called Paleface Adios, which is a harness racing horse.
Yes, yes.
The Tamora Tornado.
Can you believe the Ray Warren, when I first played first grade, he called me Cardigan Bay. Because I had that much, strapping on my body, so I looked like Cardigan Bay. The Rabs did.
well, Rabs gave you a compliment, because Cardigan Bay was one champion horse. So,
there you go.
just as you were a champion, MG. So,
go on, your Pete.
And in the thoroughbreds, Winx is by far the best horse I've seen. Just a complete unbeatable at any distance. I don't care what distance it would have travelled under, it would have won. The times it ran was exceptional. It was a personality horse, charismatic, and I can't go past Winx as being my favourite all-time horse.
Now, how you can call yourself a St. George supporter and not wipe the results from the first two rounds, I don't know, Pete. Now, Pete, I know as we let you go, we appreciate you being very generous with your time. We know you like to put the wind up Victorian racing when you can. the State of Origin dates very conveniently fall around Melbourne Cup time. Maybe just taking a little bit of the spotlight away?
No, I just think the Melbourne Cup needed a bit more promotion. it's lagging behind. So I thought we'd put the State of Origin there to give it a bit of a leg up.
Yeah, brother.
The driving force and the reason that NRL is set to resume in just 8 days' time. Peter Vallandis, we appreciate your time. Get some sleep. We look forward to the season restarting.
Thanks, boys. Much appreciated.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks for your time,
good
buddy.
Good on you, MG.